Let's go off of this press release. You were talking about the Cooper County Clerk's Office. You're calling on the state auditor to approach the issue with the same gravity as your office. So I'm just curious what you want the auditor's office to do.
Well, you know, what happened was there was an audit of the Cooper County's clerk's office that showed some problems. And we were using that to point to other problems that we've noticed with spending on elections in the state of Missouri. When we looked at the presidential preference primary election, we found about $1 million that had been paid out that should not have been paid out. And we found that time after time in different elections in different areas. And, you know, we just want the state auditor to join us in protecting the people's money and making sure that we're only expending money when it's legally allowed. And we are spending the smallest amount of the people's money we can to do the right job. I mean, it's the people's money, and we need to remember that and treat it that way.
I know in the Cooper County Clerk's Office, there were extraordinary circumstances there.
Yes,
there...
The circumstances, I mean, there were criminal circumstances there. I believe that there were charges filed. I believe there was an agreement that was come to. But what we were pointing out, too, is that in our short time in the office since January, we found several instances where taxpayer funds were not properly being accounted for or were being misspent contrary to the law. And that's a problem. It is to me, and it should be to every taxpayer in the state. And we were concerned that it would appear when we are continuing to investigate these matters that no one has actually been investigating. I mean, I guess to put it in a nutshell, the Secretary of State's office was reimbursing election costs, and they weren't even requiring receipts. And I just, when you're dealing with the people's money, it's not the state's money. It's not the government's money. It's the taxpayers' dollars. And the government should be accountable, should have a fiduciary responsibility to say, we're going to make sure we spend that money wisely for the purposes that we've been elected to spend them for, and not a dollar more than we have to.
How far back did you go? I'm just curious.
We've just gone back a couple of years because we're looking at election costs to try to have a better handle on what costs should be in the future and to make sure that we're giving the people the best service for the best price. We can't go back 50 years or something like that. But in just looking back to 2016, we've identified over $1 million. That's real money.
So would you consider it a widespread problem, or are you seeing just problems pop up randomly?
I would say it's systematic. When you're not asking for receipts, I'm not sure why you don't do that. Is that a lack of caring? Is that a lack of knowledge? I don't know, but it just seems inappropriate to me. And we're seeing that sort of action has been occurring across the board.
I'm trying to recall now. It seems like you're trying to work on an initiative to also help to cut some costs and be more efficient when it comes to elections. I think at one point, I think the goal or something like that was like $1 million. Talk to me a little bit about that.
I think that $1 million comes from the $1 million that we've already identified that should not have been spent, that we believe was illegally spent by the Secretary of State's office in a 2016 presidential preference primary. That was just that one election. But we have special elections that occur. It's somewhat random. Obviously, it depends on a seat being vacated and the chief executive calling for a new election, but it's not a rare occurrence. And we are working and have been working really for months with local election authorities with our own data to mine the data we have to find out what the true cost should be to make sure that we're only paying for what the law says we should pay for, because we don't have as Secretary of State's office, we can't just spend money unless the law says you spend this money, and then it prescribes how we spend it. And, of course, the legislature has to appropriate how much we can. So we've been doing an entire reevaluation of election costs. We're working with clerks and boards of elections across the state so that we can do a better job. One, we'll save the people money. Two, we'll be able to pay our local election authorities for running elections faster. We've had elections where it's taken us over a year to repay some of our election authorities the cost of the elections they did for our states. We have counties that cannot spend $30,000 and wait a year to be reimbursed when they should have been paid, when that cost was incurred.
Okay, that's interesting. So what's the process in place for that now? The submitting for requests for payment, does that need to be streamlined as well?
We're working on that process also. We're going to be, with the help of some legislators, we'll be introducing legislation. Right now, the process is if there's a special election, the local election authority, they come up with an estimate. We're required to pay that estimate a certain number of weeks before the election. And then after the election, they would say, this is what our actual cost is, and we'd true up. If they had actually spent more, we'd reimburse them for their allowable costs beyond what we had already paid them. Or if they had spent less, then they would refund the excess that had been paid to them. But there are problems with that. For one thing, we generally don't get appropriated enough money from the legislature actually to pay the full cost. We have elections actually going on today. If people are in various places around the state and we need to make sure that we can pay for those special elections. We also have elections occurring early next year. And for each of those elections with the special or with the cost that we were given, we were only able to pay a portion of the estimated cost because we didn't have enough money appropriated. We didn't have the authority from the legislature actually to fully repay the actual election costs.
So what's the repayment budget and what would you like it to be?
It varies because we try to estimate every year with the budget how many special elections there will be. Mm-hmm. And recently, every year when we do our budget, the first portion of the money that's allocated goes to pay for what wasn't paid the year before. One of the things that we're suggesting the legislature allow us to do is to amend the law so that the Secretary of State's office may make the estimate of what an election will cost. We have all the data from all the special elections that have been held, so we have the most data to be able to determine kind of what the cost should be. We have the expertise at looking at the law to understand exactly what expenses are allowed to be reimbursed. That would also take something off the plate of local election authorities who are generally very busy, and especially before an election, anything you can say, we'll take care of that for you. They're happy about that. It'll allow us to pay them more quickly, the estimated costs, and it'll make the process of going through what their actual costs are and truing them up a better and faster after an election. And also, we hope that over time, through working with local election authorities, mining the data that we have, we can come up with a structure of this is how much the election should cost so that we have some certainty for budgeting for the legislature and for the people of the state to know exactly how their money is being spent and it's being spent correctly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is interesting. So do you know approximately how much is in, and I suppose I could look it up in the budget book, but do you know approximately how much?
I don't remember exactly how much was given in the budget last year, and we've just, we haven't gotten the governor's recommendation. That won't happen until probably early next year, and then we'll go to the legislature. It's very volatile because you never know how many people are going to change position. Hopefully you don't have people die, you just have them resign, because they move on to another position. One of the things that we'd like to see is that we get an E. The idea from it with an E in the budget is that's an estimated cost. The Secretary of State's office has no control over the cost of an election. We can enforce the law with what we will pay on these are allowable costs, but we don't get to call the election. That's done by the governor. We don't determine how many vacancies there will be and how many elections there will be. So we're kind of caught between the legislature that provides the funding and then the executive and whatever individuals leave their office to determine how many elections there are. So we just do the best we can to provide the whatever funds we're given for the number of elections we have to pay for. And, one thing I should mention is this isn't a local problem. A lot of times I try to be very careful and say that secretaries of state take credit for good elections when really the local election authorities do all the works, the county clerks, the boards of elections. They're working within the rules that they've been given. They've been told if you do this, we'll do this. They haven't been given the right counsel, and it's not their fault. This is a problem that needs to be solved at the state level through the executive and through the legislative. So I appreciate the local election authorities' willingness to help us to get to the best point for everyone involved.
Okay. I thought the E was taken out of the budget. Was that just in the legal expense fund, or was that for everything?
Pretty much. I don't know of any E's that are left in a budget, but I don't know everyone's budget. Okay. But I know a couple of years ago, the vast, vast majority of E's, they took out of the budget. Mm-hmm. We're working with the legislature because obviously it's their decision. It is good to separate power and government because, you know, sometimes government solutions are worse than its problems. So we agree with that. Don't want to step on a legislature's toes. But we're working with the legislature to hopefully come up with some criteria that if these certain criteria are met, then an E could be given in the budget. We have some special funds that we think an E would be appropriate when it comes to investor restitution. We may have federal courts, and we do on a regular basis, that send us money and say, give this out to these victims. The court's not going to go find them. Secretary of State's office, you find them and return this money to them. That's not really state funds. It doesn't really affect the budget. We're just a conduit. So things like that, we think an E would be reasonable, and we're going to continue to work with the legislature on that.
Okay. All right. Maybe we should talk about today's elections a little bit
more.
Not just the budget part, but
if you're in an area where there's an election, get out and vote. Make your voice be heard. I mean, when you think about it, we're going to have elections today that unfortunately are going to have 10% turnout. Think about that. If you voted in the presidential preference primary, you might have had 70% turnout. If you vote in this election with 10% turnout, it's almost like you get to vote 7 times. You don't, but your vote counts that many times almost.
Okay, so and is that pretty much for all of the races?
Is that your prediction? It varies. Every election authority is going to be different. You know, we have a special election for state senate. We have some state rep races. I think the state senate race has gotten a little bit of publicity, so that should help to draw people out. You know, we have some transportation, we have some tax increases. It just depends on the locality. But I want to reinforce this thought that every election matters. They're all important, and your voice is important. So please get out and vote.
Any particular tips you want to give to people other than get out and vote? I heard of something this morning that, and I guess I never stopped to think about this, but does the pen color matter when you're going to fill in who you want to vote for? I heard that the red pen, you need to have a black or a blue pen.
Well, black or blue are best to use. Your election authority should have pens there for you. You know what I would say is when you go up there, smile. There are poll workers that work a long day for very little pay. They're there to make sure that every registered voter can vote and can participate. So when they ask you for your ID, when they show you to your ballot, say thank you, because they're working hard and they're doing a great job to make sure everyone's voice can be heard.
I was at a seminar in Nashville while I was out of the office, and one of the subject matters was cybersecurity.
Yes.
And just scares me. It's terrifying. And they were talking about hackers, like hackers that are actually trying to help governments, you know, by breaking into their systems to find out where the loopholes are. And they had talked about how it took hackers 90 minutes to break into brand new voting machines. I'm just curious. I'm sure you guys are constantly dealing with trying to keep up with the times when it comes to cybersecurity. Is there anything you want to talk about on that level?
You know, I would just let people know that we are concerned about cybersecurity. We are always, I talk to our head of IT all the time. We silo our systems separately from the state government systems because our election systems are that important, and we silo those from the rest of the Secretary of State's office. We are really on the cutting edge of how we defend them. I would remind people, though, that, you know, the voting systems you use in Missouri, they don't connect to the internet. They're air-gapped. We use a distributed system where there are all sorts of different types of machines that are used across the state, different manufacturers, different models. And also, I would say that, you know, when you hear about these hackers that are saying in 90 minutes or an hour or two they're able to hack them, they're given physical access. They're actually able to tear apart the machines. And we don't let people tear apart machines in our polling places. We keep them under lock and key when they're not using. We audit them and verify them before we put them into place. I've worked as a poll worker. When you go in that first day, the first thing you do is you run some tests on the machine to make sure that it's zeroed out and you're getting the right data. So I think people should have complete confidence in our elections. We work with the Department of Homeland Security. I've met with them multiple times since I've been Secretary of State to talk about computer security. Having said that, we're not just going to say everything's fine and not worry about it. It's a daily thing. We're communicating with other secretaries of state. We're going to continue to communicate with Homeland Security. We are continuing to upgrade some of our security criteria. I mean, in Missouri, we've gone so far as you can sunshine a lot of things. You can't sunshine our computer systems or our security or anything like that because we don't even want the bad guys to know how we're protecting ourselves from them. I'm really grateful that I have a background in that, being an engineer, working as an attorney, having credentials when it comes to data security and privacy is really important in this job, and it's something we take seriously. So people should have confidence, and they should know that if they're registered, they can vote, so get out.
Are you a regular poll worker?
I'm not allowed to be a poll worker now.
Sure.
As Secretary of State, but I did have a great opportunity earlier this year. In St. Louis, they deputized me on a temporary basis so I could visit the polling places and talk to people that were voting to make sure everything was running smoothly and help out if there are any problems. I love that. I mean, this is America. This is we the people making sure that we have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And I think it's tremendous.
I want to ask a quick question about the Cooper clerk and what happened there. Are you asking for restitution in that case whatsoever?
There's investigation that's still ongoing, with what's happened. So, let's just say that that's a matter still under consideration.
Okay. All right. Great. Another thing when I was in Nashville, I've never heard of before, states apparently have sold information about residents for profit, and I'd never heard of this before. Has Missouri ever done this, or is there a law or anything to prevent this?
Well, with regard to certain voter information, we don't sell it for profit. We sell it. Sell seems like a bad way to put it. It's under the Sunshine Act. The Sunshine Act is a Missouri law that says if it's public data that the government has to make that available to everyone. The idea being that if politicians or the news media or someone else can get a hold of that, then every resident, citizen, individual in the state of Missouri should have that equal access to that. So under Missouri law, yes, we give out name, address, birth date, elections in which people have received a ballot, that sort of information. We don't know what party you are. You don't identify as a party in Missouri. We don't have that information to give out, even if we had it. And it's not, if we had it, it would be private, but we don't. We can't give it out. We don't give out Social Security number. That's very private, personal information. We don't give that out. We don't know how you voted. We know if you showed up and signed in, but once you get the ballot, as I like to say, that's your time. That's not our business. Please don't make a paper airplane out of it, but what you do with it otherwise, that's up to you. So we do give out that limited amount of information, name, address, birth date, that sort of thing, but it's nothing that's going to disclose how you voted or where you're politically aligned. And we give that out to anyone that pays, I think it's a $35 fee, and affirms that they will not use that for commercial purposes, and any resident, citizen of the state can go ahead and get that.
So like Equifax couldn't say, hey, I want all public voter information of your citizens in Missouri, because you said for
when we
release
that public information that way, it can't be used for commercial purposes.
Okay. All right. Good. Anything else that you think we need to hit on, this or otherwise?
Just want to thank the people for allowing me to serve. It is a privilege, and being able to be part of making sure that every registered voter can vote in an election, that's a great thing. That's what government ought to be doing, and I just want to thank the people and encourage them. Every time there's an election, get out, make your voice heard, vote.
2018 is a big year with midterm elections. Is your office doing anything specific to gear up for that?
You know, they're all big, and we obviously will gear up for 2018, but we have elections at the beginning of the year that we have to worry about before that. We're going to have April elections, we have August elections, we have November elections. We are almost always if not always, working on an election because they're all important. We want everyone to know that their vote will count. It won't be mitigated or destroyed by illegality on the part of someone else.
Okay. Any update on the
Safe at Home program?
I know you're working on legislation statewide and federally.
Yeah, let me thank the legislature. We were able to pass some legislation with about two or three. We introduced it 2 or 3 weeks left in the session last year. We're going to introduce some other changes this year. We had a little bit more time to work on the changes we want to make this year. But I'm also really thankful to Senator Blunt and Congressman Smith, who have introduced federal legislation, which will not cost the taxpayers a dime, will not create a new program, but it will take our state protections that we have for these individuals that have been hurt by rape, domestic violence, stalking, human trafficking, people that have been victimized by that. It will give the state protections federal protections to them and also to people in 35 other states. Just a common sense thing to do. We're really happy we're going to continue to work on that.
There's such a kind of a bottleneck going on in Congress, you know, and they've got some big priorities on their plates. You know, how confident are you that they're going to get to this? It seems like a minor thing compared to some of the big packages in reform that they're working on. So,
you know, I don't know how confident they are they're going to get it done, but I'm confident we're not going to give up. When you look at these when you look at the people that are helped by this, when you hear their stories, when you hear what they've been through, their children and these older participants, this is the right thing to do. I want to know who's going to stand up against it. This is just common sense. Anybody from the Midwest or Missouri understands it's the right thing to do. And if we need to spend more time educating those individuals in D.C., we'll do that. But I know we have great partners in Senator Blunt and Congressman Smith, so I have confidence.